Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables with Dr. Bessie, Cynthia Oliver, Deborah Tyler, all in the house. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful day. We had snow yesterday and last night, and the sun is shining today as if it never happened. I tell you, look at God. Good morning, mothers and daughters from around the world. Today is an exciting day. I'm telling you, it is exciting. Woo! God is good. No matter what you're going through, I want you to know God is good. Don't look at what's around you. Stay present. Stay in the moment. You close your eyes right now. Just do it. Just close your eyes for a moment. And just feel the presence of God. Those who say, well, I don't know God. Just close your eyes anyway. And just feel, you feel something like, you feel peace. See, that's the real you. That's God's presence. Right there. Just feel it. Feel so good. Feel so good. It's not until you open your eyes and look around and your subconscious and your conscious and unconscious mind click back and all of a sudden you got these conversations going on in your head. Start telling you crazy stuff because don't want you to have any peace. My peace out to you. See, the only person to have peace is God. The only people that have power is God and you. There's no power in things. If you had a glass of water on a table, if you didn't take your hands and use the power that you have to lift that glass bay there for years until someone come along with some power to move it. So, right off the bat this morning, I want to say, you have the power within you to control all things. Humans control all things. But humans do not control humans. You cannot control a person. I know people say, well, I've heard that before. Yeah, but did you get it? Get it in your down in your spirit. You cannot control people. We only have the power that God has given us to control things. A dollar is no good unless it is what? Spent. It'll sit in your pocketbook, dry rot. But when you spend it out or exchange it for something, it has power, the power of exchange. So this morning, I want you to think about it, mothers and daughters. I want you to think about the power that they do have. And where do you get the power from? And the reason I'm telling you is because it's going to be a part of what we're going to talk about today. If you had a heater and it's cold on the outside and it's just sitting in the middle of the floor, you're going to be cold.
because the heater doesn't have any power. The only person that has power is you. Where do you get your power from? You connect, like that heater would be connected to electricity, you are connected to God. And that's where you get your power from. It's when you disconnect from God, it's when you feel the pain, when you get scared, when you get to crying, because you're disconnected. You think you're connected, but you're not. You're disconnected. You're disconnected because there's no way in the world you could love disconnected from God. He's your power source. Stick your hand back in his hand. And that heater is going to sit there and you'll freeze to death. They'll come in and find you with the heater in, right at your feet, and you died because you froze to death. Because the heater is no good unless you plug it in to electricity where it gets its power. But you first have to give power to the cord, to the heater, to plug it in to electricity. So think about those things as we have our discussion today. What power do you really have? And who do you have the power over? That's the question. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm excellent. Excellent.
Well, good job. Good, well, I'm determined to be excellent. How about that?
Yeah, well, just be it. Let's don't determine
Amen.
Anymore. Let's just be
Amen.
It. Let's just be it. I think that word sometimes may keep
every
you in
day.
A spot. Yeah. Just be,
nah,
let's be
I'm
it.
Every day, it's a, every day I'm doing the very best I can to be it, darling. Walking
yeah.
in it. Walking in it.
Yeah. So God said, do the word. Be a doer. Hold
Amen.
On one second. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody.
How are you doing?
Good morning.
I'm well. I'm well. How's everybody?
Good. Good. Good day.
Good,
good day to get up and know that you weren't a part of the 4,000 some people yesterday. Say thank you, God.
Amen.
It's another day. So we're going to rejoice and do what? Be glad in it.
Be glad in it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
post that I just sent to my, that's the response I just sent to my sister when she sends her post every day for all of her sisters. My birth, my sister. So, yes, so we all on the same page. I'm determined to be glad in it because he's made it and I get the choice. I get to choose to be glad in it. And I am going to be glad in it today, no matter how it looks, no matter how it sounds. I'm good. I'm real good, ladies.
Yeah, because God is God. All right. How was your last week, Deborah?
My week was pretty average. You know, nothing major happened. Not that I can think of. You know, it was pretty average and, you know, busy as usual.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're out of school, right? Are you back in school?
We started this week. So I'm taking Spanish, so pray for me.
I'm hearing a lot of movement in the back coming out real loud. I don't know who's moving. Go ahead.
Now, I started school this week, last week. So I say I'm taking Spanish, pray for me.
Oh.
Yes, Lord.
I'm laughing at you because I took Spanish 3 different times, and every time, whoo, I was scaling through. I made a B, but I was scaling through. I had to memorize
mm-hmm.
stuff, and that's the worst thing in the world is to memorize Spanish or any language because that's just like putting something in a bottle of water, knowing that someday it's going to be poured out. You know, so I understand, and that's one of the, and maybe we could do it together because that's one of the things I'm trying to, one of the courses I'm trying to teach myself. I just pray and ask the Lord to help me because I know we can do it. You know what I mean? Come on,
mm-hmm.
if I could speak in the Holy Ghost language, I know I speak in any language. But you know, just a matter of just making up your mind to receive it. You know.
Mm-hmm. So that's you'll do fine. You'll do fine as you always does.
So
we're praying for you. We're praying for you. Cynthia, how was your week last week?
My week was productive, and it was very busy. It was a busy week. Started thinking I was going to start a new position at another school, and that didn't happen. But I was still being diligent. I still did my due diligence, so it was a lot of work. And then, of course, starting the new year and new term with the Mother and Daughter Bible College, of course, you know, it's a lot of work. People think because, you know, we're a small institution and we have less students, that it's somehow less work than what I would do if I was in a big school with more and a lot more going on. But it is just as much work, and I have been flooded with just making sure that we get everything done for the new year and with the new students. And it's been busy, but it's been productive. And anytime I'm productive, I'm good to go. So I dare not complain. It was good. Good stuff.
Well, what I would say out there to mothers and daughters, I take my hat off to, I call her Cynthia on the radio, but she's Professor Oliver, and she's the Dean of the Mother and Daughter Bible College, and I'm telling you that college would not be running without Cynthia. She is the of the Mother and Daughter Bible College. And Cynthia, I just want to say openly that I appreciate you. God appreciates you. You do an excellent job. You do it with the spirit of love and the spirit of concern for the students, bent over backwards, even have to keep me straight. Sometimes when patients want to run a little soft, we have to lean on each other. But I just want to say
Do
an excellent job, and I know this is going to be a thing that is going to be, one day you're going to look back at it and you're going to say, yes, I did that. You know, God helped me and helped us to do this. So I just want to say thank you. You do.
Amen.
Do an excellent job. You really do.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for trusting me to do it. And it takes a lot of back and forth between you and I to make it happen. And we just do what we need to do in order to answer the call. And it's a call from God to have this ministry and this this college up and running. And so we just do what we do because we know it's a call on our lives. And we do it with compassion. And we do it, like you said, we do it. And we will bend over back for our students. And I can't imagine not doing it. How about that?
Because I woke up this morning, and we'll get on with the subject of the day, but when I woke up this morning, the Lord was talking to me about that school, so I'll call you after the radio and tell you what he did. You know, God is continuously working with us, ladies and gentlemen, and mothers and daughters out there. You know, when God asks you to do things, you know, you sit back and you say, well, where's my Lord? No, I used to say that, and I realized the money was God. He provides what you need when you because you're in training. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she said, well, you know, I realized, she said, the Lord told me, you are in training, you're being prepared. And so we all get paid when we're in training. But oh, God step in and hire you. The pay comes. You ain't got to worry about it. You get a stipend while you go through the training program. You get to breathe. You get your sights. You get to walk around. You got a sound mind. You know, God will just take anything come to you. He takes care of it. You're in training. But one day, you're going to graduate. And Cynthia, I believe that the day is so close to us graduating. I can feel it. I know it. Just even yesterday, I was like, God, 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 God. We're going to graduate. We're going to graduate. And just like a student, you got to go through the course. All right. This has been a good week for me. I cannot complain about anything. I'm telling you, I put everything into my bedroom and just sat in my bedroom and just worked. And it was a good week because a lot of things was accomplished. Audience out there, we don't want to just keep talking about what we're doing this week, but I wanted you to know that we are human just like you and that we have ups and downs in our lives during the week. We just don't come in on Saturday mothers and daughters and start talking about a topic, and you think, oh, they think just so good in their life. No, we have so many challenges. We have so many challenges. We talk to each other during the week, and we realize that each of us have challenges. But in spite of all of that, we get on the radio on Saturday morning, and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Because when he speaks to us, he's speaking to us, through us, to you. That's the power source, and that's what we do. We allow God to use our bodies to minister to mothers and daughters around the world. All right, ladies, I'll be right back. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Debbie, you want to give us the prayer this morning?
Yes, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for starting us. Thank you for getting us going on our way on this specific mission that you called for us to do today. We thank you for allowing us to do this, your work and your way. We ask right now that you would touch and move any hindrance, anything that's not like you, that would be an obstacle with the, from the mouth to the ears. Thank you. We love you. Thank you once again for allowing us to be servants in your kingdom. We love you. We adore you. Help us now as you promise us. We may live. Our hope is in you. Use us as you will, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'll be right back, ladies, and pick you up. All right, mothers and daughters out there, that's just a little bit about us this morning. You know, we feel like you are families. We've been here for going on 12 years here. It's just amazing. Just to say 12 years that I've gotten up every Saturday morning, you know, and say hello and talk to you guys. It's just amazing. 12 years have gone by. But, you know, it's a part of the service of God. I'm an ordained chaplain, and that didn't come until I think it was 2011. And even at that, you know, I never really looked at it as if I was getting up on Saturday morning and preaching a sermon. God showed me one day, he said, that's the way you minister to mothers and daughters around the world. You don't have the building. I didn't put you in a building. I didn't put you in a pool. I put you in front of a microphone and an airway to speak to mothers and daughters around the world. So I've always known that I would be speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. And in 1997, God said to me when I was walking on the beach, and some of you have heard the story before, that I would be talking to, God said, you'll be talking to mothers and daughters around the world from your living room. And it was amazing to me because I couldn't even fathom the idea of talking to mothers and daughters around the world from my living room. I didn't know nothing about technology, just learning how to send an email or upload something to my professors, you know, things to that nature. And all of a sudden, that was 1997, and last night I was sitting, and God reminded me of that, because he did something yesterday that brought that whole conversation into a reality. And I was running around praising God, and I said, God, that's what you said in 97. That's what you said in 97. Why am I telling you this? Wait on him. Wait on God. Don't you dare give up. If God told you he's going to do something, if God said you're going to do something, you just wait on it. It's coming. And so I started counting. 97. You see what I'm saying? Talking about 12 years, 13 years, 97, 2007, 10 years. Am I right? 97, 2007. Oh, it's 20 some years. 22 years, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I counted up. It's 22 years. Who would ever thought? Most people can't even fathom waiting a week or a month. Oh, I wasn't all that patient. I'm not going to tell you I was patient. I just knew when God told me it was going to happen. I didn't even, first of all, I couldn't receive it because I couldn't even
Imagine somebody sits in a living room talking to people around the world. Well, everybody knows that now because the internet has grown in such a way that anybody can talk to mothers and daughters around the world. And it's not anything new for me, but he just told me that in 97, what I would be doing and the way I would be doing it. And it showed up yesterday. And sat down and I counted up the time and I said, oh my God, 22 years. Look at God. I just forgot about it. Every once in a while I mention it, but really and truly, I never concentrate on it. And sometimes that's what we have to do. God said it, just forget about it. It's a seed, it will grow. It's not going to grow in your time, but it'll grow. It will come if God told you. And that's all I'm saying to you. Do not, don't you dare think about the things that you talk to God about that it's not going to happen. Because if you say, if you do that, then you prolonging the delivery. And I'm sure I prolonged mine. Now I'm to the point where I say, you know what? God, you said, that's it, and I move on. I never forget a lady, Gloria, Gloria in Canada. I'll think of her name and last name in a minute. I don't know why I forgot that. But Gloria, she said, I told God to take my body and use it and do something good with it. To do something good with it. And she said, whenever he tells you he's going to do something, you just believe that. You just believe that. Things that she said in the past that just I've heard her say that sticks out and sometimes speaks back to me. She don't know me. I don't know her. But when we put words out on this radio program, I'm sure there's certain things that we say that will stick to a person's mind. Every once in a while, it's going to pop back up. That's how God can use your body, your mouth, your tongue to speak a word and plant a seed into somebody's consciousness that will grow. One day, it'll speak back to you. One day, it'll help you get to the next day. So our topic today is, should a mother apologize to her daughter? Now, when I was talking to you from the beginning, and I told you to hold on to the information, I was leading. And as I on Saturday morning, wait on the Holy Spirit to give me a topic, today was, should a mother apologize to her daughter? And the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes I think mothers believe that because they are a mother, that they have power and control over their daughter or even their sons. Sometimes they feel because they're the mother, you as I say, and not as I do. Or you do it because I said so, because I'm your mother. Now you are a mother speaking to another woman that's in her 40s, late 40s, got children, has grandchildren, and you go speak to her like she's a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old. Now, mothers, I don't know where and what book did you get that out of, but it's written nowhere in the Bible that tells you to talk to a child, a grown woman, as a child. In fact, he said, you know, do not, and I'm paraphrasing here, irritate your children, don't provoke them. Just like he said, honor your mother and father. It goes both ways. But sometimes we get to the point where we feel that we can control our children. You can't.
You cannot control them. You cannot control their thoughts, their words, their visions, and you certainly can't control their realities. Impossible. You can fret. You can threaten. You can stop talking to them. You can disconnect. You can do whatever you want to do. You still cannot control them. Tell them this morning. The only thing that a human is designed to control are things. Things. You sitting on the couch, you can control that couch. Because you can move it around, turn it any way you want to in that room, porch. You can put it at the edge of the yard, throw it in the trash. You are in control of that couch. That couch will never be able to speak back to you. That couch will never be able to move you from one end of the couch to the other. We have to understand from where, from whom our power comes. And once you realize that you're connected to the power of God. And through you, God gives you the power to control things, not people. But somewhere along the line, we were raised that the mother and the father has the power. And as the young people are growing up, they're getting more and more in tune with, you don't have the power. You don't have the power over me. A lot of people don't say that to their parents because of what? Out of respect. But if you think about it, you know you think about it. Because you'll do what you need to do when you're in your parents, but when you leave, your whole mind shift. The minute you get in your car, leaving the house, you shift back into who you are because you are in control of that person. You are pretending to be somebody else. And, you know, that's not nice. Because God sees you pretend to be somebody else when in their presence. And the minute you leave, then you flip back into who you are. You know, you're going to have to be who you are. It's just like yesterday. Someone texted me and said, do you have time to FaceTime? And I said, I looked at it, and I didn't want to say no to the person, how I feel about the person. And I thought about it. And I texted back and said, well, no, not at this time, because I really was working a project. But then I had to really get real with myself. I said, let me get with you later on, which I did. And when I called them, they texted me and said they were busy. I'll get back in touch with you. I'll call you back in about 10 minutes or something like that. And so I said, okay. But when the person called back, they were calling to FaceTime me. And I don't like FaceTime. That to me, it's okay when it's inappropriate in this time. You know, I do it every once in a while. My great-grandson, he'll FaceTime me. Of course, you know, and I do it. But I'm just not one that just publicly open myself up to a lot of medias, which is the end as of yesterday. But, you know, I just have to get past it. But I did not answer the phone and called her back. And I said to her, and she said, well, I just feel better if I could see your face. And I said, well, you know, to me, it's not the face, the word of God, it's the spirit. And I just, and the Holy Spirit told me, are you going to just not tell her? You have the power over you, and you're not going to tell her how you feel? So then I told her, I said, well, you know, it has nothing to do with you. I'm just not a person that likes to FaceTime. I'm just from the old school. just don't get up and get on something. I got to be appropriate. I got to be dressed. That's just who I am. So I said to her, no disrespect to you, but I just don't like to do FaceTime. I don't like spur moment things like that. And she said, well, okay, I understand. I said, well, I just want to be honest. Because I was trying to figure out how not to say anything. Now, that would have been honest. And for what? No one has power over me but God. So why would I fear any man? Or why would I fear telling somebody I really truly feel? And that's what I'm getting to, mothers and daughters. Nobody has power over you but God. He is your source. We say that, but do you understand that? Wisdom is one, but understanding, he said, is the other. You know, he said, wisdom is nothing without understanding. And all your ways get understanding. You got to understand. The woman that birthed you into this world, it's the woman that birthed you into this world. But your power comes from God, the one that made you and sent you through that woman into the earth. You got to know who you're going to serve. Now, when you have a relationship with your children, it's got to be one that you earned. That's why I work very hard to earn a relationship with my. She can cut off and stop speaking to me any day, and there's nothing I can do about it. She can decide, I don't want to talk to my mother. I don't want to see her again. And boom, what can I do? Nothing. But go to God and pray and ask God to forgive me because it's got to be something I contribute to. She ain't just all of a sudden stop speaking to me for no reason. There's a contribution in here from both parties. So you have to work to maintain a relationship with your mother and daughter relationship. I have to work on that. I have to know when to yield. Just because I'm the mother don't mean I don't need to yield. So should a mother apologize to her daughter? I say yes, 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 yes. And you know you should. And you know when you should. But nobody has power over you to make you do it. That's the difference. But in your heart and soul, you know you feel bad, you regret it. But that old pride won't let you say, baby, I was wrong. Why must she be right all the time? Baby, I was wrong. And daughters, ditto for you. You don't get a ticket to ride on up in the Senate because the topic said, mother, should a mother apologize to her daughter? And now let's flip that thing. You have to apologize to your mother. You don't the ticket to ride out and treat your mother as if she didn't bring you into this world. We're each responsible for each other because there ain't but one source, and that source is God. And we're both, the mother and the daughter, are connected to the source. The mother doesn't give you your power. God gives you your power. God gives you your power. So, mothers, when you feel the junior daughter is agreeing on something, and you said something that you shouldn't have said, and you get that old feeling called regret. You regret it. You're feeling bad. It's on your mind. It's in your intro conversations. Every time you turn around, it's talking back to you. Well, you should have said this. Why did you do that? Well, you know, you did this and da da da. And you're having those conversations. And you will continue to have those conversations until you apologize. You have to apologize. Apology is like repentance. You got to go to God and repent. So what does repentance mean? Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. Give me another chance. That's what it means. And that's why he said there's only one command, love. The only command is love. If you work out of love, you will apologize without even having any regret. Apologize for your regrets. You'll acknowledge your offense. You will say, I am so sorry. I wasn't in my right mind that day. I had a lot on my mind. I didn't think it through. I'm sorry. I apologize. Well, the same way we have to go to God and ask for repentance is the same way we have to go to humans and ask for repentance. And the repentance is to apologize. And that's all you can do. Because once beyond you did the apology, then it's up to them to make up their mind if they want to accept it and receive it. You have no more power. You have no control over the person. It's up to them to decide. And I've seen a lot of people come into my office and sit down, and they said, I apologize. I done everything I possibly could or can do that I know of. And Dr. Beth, she still is not speaking to me. And that's what I tell them. You've done all that you can do. Have power over a person. Now all you can do is pray and ask God to touch them because you have done your part. As a friend of mine used to say, now the blood's off my hands. Because once you clean your hands, you clear with God because that's your power source. That's the only person that you have to worry about. Because Jesus done brought you to him. He said you can talk to him. You don't have to come through me. You don't have to come to me to talk to God. I done brought you before him. I stand between the two of you. I hear everything you say. You come to me, I take it to him, and then you got right to talk to God. So mothers and daughters, we've got to realize that other human beings are connected to God and not to us. We think because we were used to bring humans into the earth, we think that that gives us exclusive rights to the product, exclusivity in you and your child, because that child belongs to God and all powers come from God to that child. And I think about it. Tentacles, you know, this tentacles just off from God. This tentacles, the million and trillions of tentacles, each one represent, as you have a child, it connects to another tentacle to God. Once it comes to the earth, it's not yours. You have no control over it. And you really don't have control when it's in your womb. Sometimes people decide that they do. And they decide that they'll make decisions whether they want to let the child come into the earth or not. That's a whole nother show. When you're thinking about it, mother, and you know that you need to confess about something, you know when you need to admit a guilt or ask for forgiveness, all those things, or acknowledge an offense because you regret something, all those things starts with an apology. You must apologize sincerely, and people will know when you're sincere in order to get the relief that you want. All right, Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
We're talking about should a mother apologize to her daughter? What's your answer on that?
Well, my answer is on that is absolutely and without doubt, yes, because I've had to apologize to my children. I don't have any daughters, but I have sons, and I've had to apologize to my sons since they've become adults many times. I had not matured enough in my growth, in my learning, in my and I'm a psychology major to understand the importance of apologizing to your children when you need to, because children hold resentment towards you. Sometimes you, as a mother, you don't even know that you've erred. But if that child has changed towards you and are distancing themselves away from you, you need to have a conversation with that child, because young people hold grudges, or not, I don't want to say grudges, they have resentments towards you when you have hurt them. And you, and oftentimes, like my son was going off to college, and I thought I was doing the best by letting him prepare himself to go off and do what he needs to do. So, I subconsciously, I really think it was my way of not helping him, because if I didn't help him, then it wouldn't be real. But I later found out why he was so distant from me over the years that he was in college. He was angry with me, and I didn't even know that, because I neglected to show him the care that he needed before he went off to college. And there's been so many times that I've had to apologize to my children, because of like you said, this morning, we're only human, that I've erred in my raising them, and my errors in doing the very best I can, but it's never an excuse not to be better as a mother, because we have a responsibility to raise up by nurturing our children and making them, showing them and being the example for them to be the best that we can be. But when we neglect and think somehow we don't have to apologize to our children grow up and they become adults that don't know the importance of apologizing when they need to. And that's on us as a mother. And we do what we know, and we do what we've been taught. But we have a responsibility to children as we mature to show them that human side of us. And that it is the hardest thing to apologize to your children when you have erred. My son, he and I, one time I was down there in South Florida, since he's an adult. He's 32 years old. And he said, "Mom, just say you're sorry." And it was the hardest thing for me to say that I was wrong and that I was sorry based on the conversation that we had. Because we are in the habit of always trying to prove that we the mama. Just because you the mother doesn't give you the right to not be that example and that influence for your children, to teach your children to say, "You know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry." And I still struggle with that, apologizing when my son and I have conversations sometime and he called me on some stuff. It's not an easy task, but we have a responsibility to teach our children that's a nurturing piece, in my opinion. That's a nurturing piece. That's a growth piece, where you can learn to apologize for something that you said, something that you've done that caused our children to error. Because when we don't know how to apologize to our children go out in the world and they error. And if we don't know how to apologize, they're not going to know how to humble themselves to say, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm-hmm. And then we raise up little monsters that think that everybody's
and we wonder why.
Everybody's supposed to do what I tell you to do and when I tell you to do it. And then now you got your grandchildren stuck into a position where they didn't even have to go through all that, but because the mother didn't do what she's supposed to do with the children, the grandchildren are going to suffer under the craziness of whatever created. So
Amen.
You're responsible. Yeah, you're responsible. We are responsible as mothers for more than one generation. Yeah, and I like that. It is a hard thing. It's hard for me to sometimes apologize to Andy. But I done got so good at it now that it kind of rolls off my back. It takes a heart, and I still have to think about it when I'm doing it, but I still have to do it because I have to weigh the consequences. I have one child. I don't have time to be trying to gamble with one child. I have one child.
Amen.
And so this is the lesson for me. It's to be able to say to her, "You know what? I'm sorry.
And I say to other people, I can apologize to people all day long. I never have a problem apologizing to people. But I did find it hard because I think in your mind you think you look weak to your children. But you're not going to look weak. You're going to look like the human and the hero that they want to be, a hero, because, like, okay, it's okay to apologize. You start them off like that when they're little, then they'll grow up like that. All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
absolutely.
That was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Deborah. Hello? I think we lost Deborah.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a moment that when mothers realize, I don't know, the Holy Spirit is telling me something going on here now, but, oh, God, thank you, Father God. Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
You know all about us. You know everything that's going on with us. You know. You know. You know what you want to say, when you want to say it, and whom you want to say it to. So mothers and daughters out there, know that God loves you. And that God has his arms around you. And he protects you. And one thing about it, God's going to show you the truth. You got to be willing to accept the truth. God is going to show you the truth. And he said, once you get the truth and you receive the truth will make you free. Not set you free. It will make you free.
Amen.
So, Father, we just thank you today.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
We thank
and it's
you.
A learning curve, Dr. Fletcher. It is definitely a learning curve. But in James 4:6, God tells us, but he gives more grace when we can learn to not allow pride to get in the way. Oftentimes, it's just pure pride. And because we're so used to thinking that we're right, God forbid if our children call us on something that they think to be wrong based on what they've learned. And then James 4:6 goes on to say that it is why scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We don't know how to humble ourselves. That's the real problem. The real problem is that we think we've been right for so long that we don't think we can be wrong or that anybody should call us on our wrong.
Well, another thing the Lord is bringing up in my spirit, I remember one time I had a mother and daughter in my office. And then I have the joint session with the mother and daughter. Then I have a session with the daughter and by herself, and then I have a session with the mother by herself, so I can get the different perspectives. And after a while, I remember one time the Holy Spirit told me to tell the daughter to just back away from the mother. And I know that may sound hard. It's like just back away, because sometimes people have to have time to think. Just go on your merry way. Serve God. And God will take care of it, because you cannot change people. And I'm telling you, after that young lady did that, a couple of weeks that mother came in there confessing and crying because she knew she was wrong. We all knew she was wrong. But sometimes you got to let people breathe and let them see and analyze themselves, and let them examine themselves. Because as if you're a Christian woman, there ain't no way in the world you're going to run around and not talk to your daughter and not be the mother that God has asked you to be. Not a real Christian woman. You've got to know that you got to go to God. We all got to go to God. Jesus done his job. I came, I told you, I shared the message, my men to write it down, Holy Spirit to make sure that they wrote it enough so that you understand enough to come to me, put it in a book, and live here for you. I've done my job. It is finished. Now, those who receive those words and believe them in their heart, don't doubt them, they'll be saved, confessed before the Father. Now you got an opportunity to talk to God.
Amen.
But no man, no woman can control another human being. That's the lesson. Nothing
Amen.
Else. Except for, of course, you know, getting saved and coming before the Father. But next, after all of that, you got to know who your source is. Your source is not your mother. Your source is not your father. Your source is not your sisters. Your source is not your brothers. Your source is not your friends. Your source is not the business people you work with or the people that you're trying to kiss up to. They got something for you. They have nothing for you. You laying on your hospital bed and you waiting on one of them people to come and do something for you, wait on it. Because they cannot save you. Abel, one person can heal you, and that's God.
And Dr. Fletcher, I would like to throw a challenge out there to the audience. If you want to learn how to humble yourself so you can get to a point where you can apologize, and again, I struggle with it, but the book of Proverbs, that's a book that will teach you how to apologize, how to humble yourself in any situation. But God said, as you said last week, are we seeking? If you don't seek the wisdom and apply the wisdom of God, then, of course, you're going to continue to have that struggle. You're going to continue to not think that you should apologize when somebody tells you that you've erred. And you may not have erred in your mind. But if you have offended somebody and somebody took offense to you, you need to say you're sorry. You need to humble yourself and know that it ain't about you when you're being the best person that you can be. And you may have erred and not even realize that you erred. But if somebody tells you you have hurt them, it's the hardest thing to say I'm sorry. We'll go around the block trying to, well, if I hurt you. If you say if you hurt somebody, when somebody has told you you hurt them, then you haven't accepted the fact that you hurt somebody. And that's
right.
Not an apology.
Right.
That's not an apology. That word if is so small, but it is so big in the content of saying you sorry to somebody. Because if you say if, that suggests that you don't take responsibility that you hurt somebody's feelings or you offended somebody.
Well,
I learned that in the hardest way.
You got a couple more there, too. If, well, let me say this,
yeah.
But.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
and we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it.
All those little connecting words.
Conjunctions. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That you're trying to put into, instead of just, that means, you know what, you still got the pride in your heart.
Amen.
That's pride.
And
those are
adjectives when it comes to the saying you're sorry. You add something to it. No,
mm-hmm.
boo. But you know, it's a maturity thing. It's a growth in Christ when you can learn to humble yourself. Proverbs 16:18, Proverbs 18:12, Proverbs 29:3. It all talks about how we need to humble ourselves. 29:23 is a real good one. A person's pride will humble him, but a humble spirit will gain honor. People will honor you when you know how to say, you know what, I am so sorry. And Dr. Fletcher, I have to say this on the air. You are so good at that. You are so good at that. You are so good at apologizing. Even if you don't think you're wrong, you will apologize.
And that's
my honor to you, because you are often apologizing if you think you've hurt my feelings. You are there and you teach me. It's okay to apologize.
Yeah. And sometimes I do say things that when I think back about it, you know, and the Holy Spirit says something to me about it, and I say, okay, then I know if me and the Holy Spirit don't talk about it and it don't came up in my spirit, then if I don't come back to you and say I'm sorry, then what? You know, I'm dishonoring God because he already told me. You know, there's a situation in my life. I have apologized. I didn't even set up the situation. I was the pawn. But I decided, no, I'm going to be bigger than that. Michelle Obama said, we go low, you go high.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked. I've been phone calls. I've, you know, tried to do things, you know, to show because I'm going to be the bigger person. And finally I said, you know what, Lord? I have done all that I know to do. Because there's no hate in my heart. And now I'm done.
Amen.
I'm finished. I'm done.
Amen.
Dot zero. You know, pray for them every day and keep it moving. That's all you can do.
Amen.
Let them
Amen.
Go to God. You can't control people. And people
Amen.
Like to play games, you know. You do something and I'm a whole lot. You know, this is not a chess game. This is life. And all behind
Amen.
Is going to be gone from here. Because what? We had it out. Not at the end. Come on. Stop
and you know,
and
you know, that's the thing, Dr. Fletcher. We have to just stop the crazy. But when you don't, when you don't see an issue, there is no issue. And so you only have control of you. You have no
right.
control of the other person. God told you to apologize, so you apologize and you keep it moving. But Philippians 2:3 says this, Dr. Fletcher, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. You just do what God tells you to do and let God deal with the people in your lives who refuse to humble themselves. Because you can't humble people. Because if they do it because you tell them to do it, it's in vain. Because they don't mean it. They have to
yeah.
come around to come to know that they were error, that they have error. And if they seek God in the Word, they will eventually come to that and they will apologize to you. Maybe they may or may not ever apologize to you. But if you've done your part, don't try to be bigger than somebody else. Be bigger than somebody else. Like you said, you got to take the try. You got to take the determination. Just do it. Just be
mm-hmm.
who God told you to be based on what you have learned about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And let the and leave the consequences to Him.
And we have
we
a prime example that.
We go around putting consequences on people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying that we got a prime example of that for the world to look at. When people don't realize that they've done anything wrong in their minds, they've done nothing wrong. That's an illness. It's a sickness when you can't conceive after so many things that have appeared because of your actions and you still don't see it. This is a good example, mothers and daughters, for everybody to look at. Because if you went around and you got something that you're holding against somebody, you're not holding against that person. You're holding it against yourself because you have power within yourself. You don't have power over me. I'm free. I'm moving along, developing and doing things and creating things that God asked me to create. I'm having a wonderful time with God while you over there holding something in your heart looking crazy. So it's okay. You don't have control over people. We don't have control over people. We have control over things. And so, today, I want you all to take away, mothers and daughters, since they've given you Bible verses, but she said, go to Proverbs. Start reading anywhere in there. Just start reading Proverbs. It's the truth. It
Amen.
Gives you, that's the book of, when you don't know what to do, read Proverbs and see what you find. God will lead you to what you need to know. And again, mothers and daughters, yes, it's okay for you to apologize to your daughters. And daughters, yes, it's okay for you to apologize to your mother. And if you all never apologize, you will never have a mother relationship, a godly mother and daughter relationship, a loving mother and daughter relationship, a trusting mother and daughter relationship. You'll just be two people that can say, hello, how you doing, how is your day, and keeping it moving. You will never know the true experience of what a mother and daughter relationship feel like until you apologize and humble yourself and feel the Spirit of God. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, thank you, Deborah and Cynthia. We thank you. We love you. Mothers and daughters out there around the world, thank you for tuning in today. Please take a message and pass it on to another mother and daughter. Let's just be resourceful and pass these messages on so that they, too, can hear and be healed. Thank you, Cynthia and Deborah.
Amen.
Have a great day.
You're welcome.
It was a great show. All right. Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bond.
I got to let you go. I'm sorry. I'm hitting wrong buttons.
Bye.
Bye-bye.